the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the words of the season that we're in, tis the season. But it's not the season to be jolly because Santa is coming to town. It is the season to be jolly because in these days we commemorate one of the most incredible things, actually no, the most incredible thing that has happened to humanity since the beginning. Because during these days we commemorate the promise that was not only given to St. Mary, but was given to all of us. We were given a promise. God created us, we fell. He looked down upon us and thought, they've been away for too long. They can't get back. I've got to go down and save them. I have to go down and sort this out. It's too big for them to sort out on their own, and I need to go down and sort them out. And so he did. And he came down and he took flesh. And the incredible thing about that is the act of humility in God taking flesh and coming down to save us. Now, why is it so humble? Let me ask you a question. Let's assume that you are a big CEO of a company, right? Big company. And suddenly, you get this apprentice, 16-year-old kid, who just wanted to come and have a job. And so you take this 16-year-old kid, and you give him a job, and he starts sort of circulating mail. Then he goes up, and he becomes someone who works in the company. And then suddenly, a few years down the line, you think, this kid who I just employed and who is now working in personnel, human resources, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit in front of him because there's a job going and I'm going to apply through him. You think, are you insane? You are the CEO of this company. This little upstart who was just employed yesterday, who's become some HR person, you are going to go and sit in front of his desk and ask him for things? That would never happen in real life, would it? Incomprehensible. You don't do that. Just as the CEO would never use this young clerical person as an avenue, we would never expect God, who created man, to use man himself as an avenue to come into the world. But he did. What he did is when God wanted to come into the world to save us, he could quite simply have, you know, beam me down, Scotty. He's here. Right? He's there. God can do anything, manifest himself in any way, at any time. But no. He wanted to live our life totally. So he wanted to live our life completely, even to the extent of being born as we're born. So he decided to come through a very natural birth. I want to concentrate tonight on the encounter of St. Mary during that Annunciation and reflect a little bit on what it is that happened to her and how it ties in with us. Now, in the Gospel of St. Luke, We read, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." If you look at any head of state arriving anywhere, you see the sort of preliminary action there is, right? I think I was listening to the news months ago when President Bush went to visit Israel, Palestine. He was traveling in a motorcade of about 80 cars. Now, that meant there were processional cars in front of him, formal cars, entourage, him, security behind him, staff behind him, 80 cars for one man, the human president of one earthly country, just going from point A to point B. I've been driving through London numerous times where you know it's the prime ministerial motorcade coming through. Because you see the motorcycles piled up, they stop cars, police cars come, Range Rovers come through, same thing. If you've been in Cairo recently, you know that if the president is going to play squash, the city stands still. It's the case, it's what happens with human leaders. But here is this God, God who created heaven and earth, who created us all, and decides to send an angel to a young girl betrothed to an old man in a small town, in a small city, saying, you know what? The Lord God is going to come into the world through you. And you look at this humility and think, God, where are you going with this? God wants to show us that he can do great things, and we'll go into that a bit later. He can do great things. They're just not always going to come with a song and dance. They're not always going to come with lightning bolts and dancing angels and stars falling from the sky. God did the most magnificent thing in the simplest way. The most magnificent thing of taking flesh and coming down to us in the simplest way. And so therefore, what he says to us is, you know what? If even this huge thing I have done in this way, then I'm going to do great things in your life. But they're not necessarily going to come with a presidential motorcade. They're sometimes going to come very subtly. They're sometimes going to come in ways you don't understand. They're sometimes going to come in ways you don't expect. But I can do great things in your life. Why was he doing that? And I think I'll reflect that in the next verse, verse 20. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Why did God do that? Because he wants to say to us as well, you know what, if I'm going to come into your life and I'm going to do things, it's okay to be troubled. It's okay to not understand. If I wanted you to understand everything, I would have created you as a supernatural being who had the level of intelligence, who would understand everything and have every answer to every question. But I know the way I've limited you, I know the way I've created you, I know the kind of mind you have, and I know that I want you to know all things, but you will know all things in the fullness of time, when time is right. Because if you know things before time, things are going to go wrong. What's the biggest example we have of that? Adam and Eve. God had this tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they ended up knowing prematurely, they fell. It was not the fullness of time. If it was the fullness of time, God would have said, you know what, that tree, go eat from it now. Why would God hold it back from them? He gave them everything. He gave them absolutely everything. You know, we're talking to very young teenagers, to adolescents. And you talk about, I'm not going to go into it, so don't worry. But this whole relationship thing. You know, is it right to have a boyfriend? No, it's not the right time. It's not the, because, you know, and you go through it. Why? Because it's not the right time. Of course, God created this notion within us. God created this desire. God created this love. God created this need. God created the right time for it, so that when we experience it in the right way, it is fulfilling, it is edifying, we grow through it. But when you try to know it in the wrong time, then it causes problems. So we see St. Mary here being very simple, being troubled at his saying. Now what happens with you and I is, as soon as we are troubled at his saying, what do we do? We lose faith. We start thinking, God, you know, I don't understand. I'm confused. Why don't you explain to me? And we suddenly start to become very, very obsessed with not understanding. It's okay not to understand. You're not supposed to understand everything. Don't put the burden on your shoulders of having to know everything at all times. Because you know what? You never will. There's a saying that there is no one who knows everything about something, or something about everything. But we all end up knowing some things about some things. And those some things that we don't know about are going to keep being thrown in our faces through our lives. And some of those are going to be tied to our spirituality. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why have I gone through this experience? Why have I had this loss? Why have I had this disappointment? We don't know. Sometimes it may be directly as a result of my mistake. Fine. That I know. But when there are things that are out of our control, out of our hands, we don't understand, we don't know, we need to know one thing. One thing. And that is that God is gracious and God is loving, and God does not just want to torture us. He doesn't just want to torture us. He wants us to have something. Put yourself in the place of this young girl. Why on earth would he subject a teenager within that culture, within that environment, to suddenly become pregnant without any kind of explanation? Did he just want to torture her? That he want her to be a mockery? That he want people just to look at her and whisper? No. He had a very important reason. It was because he wanted humanity to be saved, and she was going to become a vehicle. She was going to be a blessed vehicle. She was not going to be the only one who was going to benefit. And let's face it, what did she benefit? St. Mary, what did she benefit? As a teenager, she was told, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. What did she personally gain out of this? She gained what we all gained. Salvation. I get very selfish sometimes. And I want that when God does something, it is something for me and only for me and nothing else. And if I don't see the result personally and immediately, then it doesn't matter. The fact that God is using me as a vehicle for somebody else doesn't even occur to me. God, I've done everything. You know, not only was I given up by my parents at a young age, not only was I put into the temple to serve, not only when I reached the age of adolescence was I taken out of the temple because I could no longer live there. This was now my sanctuary. I was taken out. Not only am I now betrothed to a man who's old enough to be my grandfather, but you make me pregnant? Why? Where on earth is the justice in that? You want justice? Give me a nice house with, you know, handsome young man on a big horse who comes and takes me away and we live happily ever after. That's justice. But to have me pregnant as a teenager, and then once I give birth, I become a refugee and I travel from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. You know what? When I was giving birth, I didn't even find a place. I gave birth with animals. God, where is your justice? My justice is that through you, many will be saved. The fact that I have chosen to do this in this way means that it is for your benefit and for the benefit of others. Now, I want to mention two verses. One that I've read already, where verse 29, she was troubled at this saying, and verse 34, how can this be since I do not know a man? We see in this scripture that it's okay to be confused. You know, if God can be so humble that he leaves his kingdom and he comes down and he takes flesh and he walks on this earth and he saves you and me, I can be humble enough to understand that I'm not necessarily going to understand everything all the time. So it's okay to be alarmed at the manner of the greeting, and it's also okay to ask questions. Many people turn around and say, you know, I have a lot of trouble praying. I never know what to say. But what do I say in prayer? You know, I thank God, yeah, I thank God every day. Ask the questions. Ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask. Ask because in asking you will get an answer. It may or may not be immediate. It may or may not be very clearly audible to you. But you will get an answer. God has no reason to keep us in the dark. Which wouldn't make any sense. So in prayer we ask. When I stand and pray and I've gone through a situation I don't understand, I stand before him and say, God, you know what? I don't understand. How can this be? And her question here is, how can this be since I do not know a man? Our question sometimes is, how can this be since I've done everything right? How can this be since I've followed all your commandments? How can this be since I've tried to live the right kind of life? How can this be since I've tried to do all the right things? Ask the questions. But when we ask the questions, we have to be ready to listen to an answer. And the angels answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, And this now is the sixth month of her who was called barren. I can imagine the archangel standing there saying, Mary, you think you're confused? Elizabeth. She's barren. Everyone knows she's barren. She even was in hiding. You think you have problems? Get her to explain what happened to her. But God has done this because the next verse is, for with God nothing will be impossible. See, many of us when we read this verse, we read, and with God nothing is impossible. That's not the verse. The verse is, and with God nothing will be impossible. Why? Because up to that stage, there was one thing that was impossible. What was it? It was entering the kingdom of God. It was entering paradise. That was impossible. It couldn't happen. Another thing that was impossible was that there'd be victory over death. That was impossible. So the archangel says to her, you know what, from now on, with God, nothing will be impossible. You think your pregnancy is a miracle? You think Elizabeth's pregnancy is a miracle? Wait and see, in 33 years' time, when your son has grown up, when in the fullness of time, he is suddenly revealed, when the glory that he has come for is realized, and when he dies and he rises, that will suddenly break everything that was impossible. Because through his resurrection, we will also be able to enter into his kingdom. Be ready for God to work in you and through you for what is impossible. It may take 33 years. That's the only warning I give you. It may not be immediate, but God works through what is impossible, and he brings it through at the right time. This humility that God had in the incarnation, and the humility he has until now, because God wasn't just humble because he was incarnate. God is humble because he still deals with us. You know, if anyone upset you and I as many times as we upset God, we would have second thoughts about dealing with this person. Right? We'd say, you know, I've given up on you. Thank you, but no thank you. That's not the case with God, though. But the humility that came through in the incarnation means that you and I, before God, can say, God, you know what? You've come down this far. You've come to me. You've shown yourself to me. There must be something behind everything that is happening. I will be patient. I will wait. In the verse we pray every Wednesday, we talk about us being there as those who wait for the morning. Wait for the morning. The light comes in the morning. You know, for some of us who go through difficult times, the night time is very often the worst time. And nights seem to last forever. You'll toss and you'll turn and you'll be unable to sleep and you'll think, God, when will morning come? What's so special about the morning? Because with the morning there is newness. And I think, you know what? I can put last night behind me. New day. New start. Wait upon God as those who wait for the morning. Because he will do great things. He will do miraculous things. St. Mary is only told part of the story. She wasn't told everything, if you notice. She was told that the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign forever at the house of Jacob. Didn't say anything about the resurrection. Wasn't the right time. So in our lives, why am I speaking about this? Because I want to tell you that in our lives, when God comes into my life, he will sometimes come through the most unexpected route. Something I don't understand. But he will come through that route because it is the best route. And because in the fullness of time, he will fulfill his promise to me. We've turned into a generation of control freaks. We like to be in control of everything. How many people here, if they call someone and that person doesn't answer, will call them again and 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 again? Why? Because you think this person should answer. This person has to answer. Maybe he can't. Maybe she can't. Give it time. You've heard about this online voting we had for this blue plaque thing, the cathedral. First time I went on to vote, typed in the website address, clicked the right buttons, got to the right page, clicked vote, nothing happened. So click vote, nothing happened. So click vote, nothing happened. I found myself saying, going, and then I stopped and go, are you neurotic? What's wrong with you? Wait. You know, we've become this push button generation. It has to happen now. How many of us are ready to pick up our laptops and throw them out the window when you press connect and it takes about 6 seconds? You think, 6 seconds of my life. And you were going to do what with them? That's a different issue. Wait on God like those who wait for the morning. You know, you can't press buttons and make the morning come any faster. That's the beautiful thing about life. We're not in complete control of it. And thankfully, the most important things are only in the hands of God. Because even the little things that we take control of, we really do a good job of messing up. Imagine if God somehow put into our hands some little remote control that was able to speed up or slow down the day. You think our climate is confused now? Imagine. But he doesn't put those things in our hands because he knows we can't deal with them properly. Our lives are very similar. We sometimes try to speed up what can't be sped up or slow down what can't be slowed down. Or take things we can't take or put things in we can't put in. St. Mary is such a wonderful model in this. It would have been very different if the scriptures were, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And she said, O heavenly angel, let it be according to the will of God. I will do what he wants. I think, okay, I can't be like St. Mary. That takes me out. Sorry. You know, we can't take the first verse and last verse of this passage because that takes us all out of the equation. But the reason for having all these verses in the middle is to show us that it's okay to go through the process as long as we get to the right conclusion. It's okay through the process to say, you know what, hang on, I am slightly troubled as what you're saying. Just a little bit troubled. I'm sitting here in the privacy of my own sitting room. This luminous being comes in, as beautiful as you look. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing here. I'm trying not to be freaked out. I'm just slightly troubled. And then later on, he goes through, you know, behold, you will conceive. Bring forth a son. His name will be called Jesus, Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so Mary's sitting there, and the first question that comes to her mind is, how am I going to be pregnant? Are you kidding? I've told you about the Holy Spirit overshadowing me, the Spirit of God overshadowing me. I've told you about the throne of his father David. I've told you about his kingdom having no end. That's the question you have? Did you not hear everything else I said? So all of this stuff made sense, right? It's just the first bit that didn't make sense. It's okay to be confused. You know, St. Mary knows we're not laughing at her. You're laughing at me. My fault. But it's okay to go through a process and think, you know, I don't understand. God, I really don't understand. Explain to me. But when St. Mary was troubled, she sat there and she listened. She sat there and she listened. We sometimes become troubled. Problem is, we don't listen. Once we become troubled, we switch off. How am I going to get an answer? How am I even going to ask a question? The question came later on, after she'd heard all of this. How am I going to even ask a question to get an answer? Once something hits me that I don't understand, it's suddenly put into the too hard basket, and I put it aside and never think about it again. Pray, listen, ask, and you receive answers. And the same peace that came upon St. Mary here will come upon you. This young girl is no different to you and I. She was a human as we are humans. Whatever she achieved, we can achieve. Whatever she's capable of, we're capable of. So don't lose hope. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. That's what's going to make a difference. How can this be, since I do not know a man? Very simple. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Most High will overshadow you. And that applies to you and me as well. Thankfully for all of us, especially the guys, it's not going to result in a pregnancy, because that would be very difficult to explain. But it's going to be manifest in very different ways. The impossible will come in your life, because the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Most High will overshadow you. You are already temples of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in you. That's the difference between us and St. Mary. Before the institution of the sacraments, there was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there as he came upon the disciples and as he was upon St. Mary, but there wasn't the same indwelling that we have today. So we have an added bonus. So within this month that leads up to the Feast of the Nativity, and that's the reason I've started with this talk, is I want you to reflect on the miraculous power of God and what he can do through and with us. It will not always make sense, In context, it will not always be relevant, but in the fullness of time, it will appear, it will show. And just as St. Mary benefited in salvation with us all, so we benefit personally. But just also as the whole of humanity benefited through the act of St. Mary, we may also be a vehicle, a conduit, through whom God will work in the lives of others. So we need to be obedient. We need to be faithful. We need to be confident and trusting in Him. We need to realize that this God, who was so humble and took flesh and came down without the motorcade, without the fuss, who just came down so that in the fullness of time He may rise and raise us with Him. That same God, who is the performer of that same miracle, is able to work through us and with us as He worked through and with St. Mary and do great things. Great things. Don't expect little things of God. God does great things. Just give Him time. And even if you don't understand fully, sit back, listen, ask, wait for the answer, be reassured, and wait as those who wait for the morning. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Take a moment to reflect.